Amen. Let me know that this thing is working okay and the microphone's doing just right. All right, so I know this way. I always got to ask that because sometimes I'm just not sure, so we run into difficulties. But this program's been doing pretty good so far, and I kind of like it. Like I said, I've been trying to invite older chat members that was hanging out in the chat room. I sent them emails. I still keep in touch with some of them. I was trying to get them to install the software to, you know, still come to these meetings. But I don't know. It just seemed like, you know, you can't convince them to really either install the program or to join us. I do know a few that did install the program, like Dodie and Angela, or other words, Texas Rose. But we had a few UK people that did install this. But, you know, for them to join us, it's near midnight. So I can understand why they can't join this, because, you know, man, that is time. They were staying up. They were joining, which was kind of amazing. But, you know, I get it. But now, since I'm recording this, they've been listening to the links, because the site, apparently somebody's listening to it, because we had 1,007 hits on it right now. Started off from zero. So 1,007 people done listen to the sermons on that site. So that's doing pretty good. So again, I thank you for being here. You know, like I always said, you could have been elsewhere, but you decided to come here, and God bless you. And I was telling Toby a little bit about this message here tonight. And besides Beth, she's not going to be here. Her and her hubby are having what they call a getaway at a beach. They're camping out in a tent. You know, I don't see how they're doing it, because I know it's mighty hot a little bit up that way. It's just probably hot where y'all at, except for the Canadian folks. I don't know how hot it is up there, but they're having a weekend getaway and they're camping out in a tent. So she says she's going to listen to this online later on, but God bless her anyway if she's listening. Hi, Beth and Jim, if you're going to listen to it, hi to you. Now, like I was telling Toby of this message here, folks, I was kind of dealing with it myself, and I've been having a little hard time with it, and I'm sure some of you also can relate to this once you hear it. You know, I have a tendency to pull a lot of my messages on things to actually deal with in real life, you know. So, again, I hope you enjoy it. You know, I started working on it last Sunday, been working on it throughout the rest of the week. I was kind of tying it up a little bit today. So, you know, again, welcome. It's Friday night in fellowship room or sermon room or gathering room or whatever. So the Lord's laid a message, and I hope that you enjoy it. So I got to ask us this question. All of us at one point or another has dealt with discouragement throughout our lives. You know, if you have, and if we was live with a camera, I would ask for a show of hands. You know, I have. My hand's raised. I have dealt with discouragement. And I deal with it kind of on a little regular basis, because it is, you know, a form of attack. It's hard. But, you know, all of us, again, you know, we have to relate that we have dealt with discouragement throughout our lives. And discouragement covers what I call a broad range of concepts. The verb to discourage, I looked it up, means to deprive of confidence, hope, or spirit, dishearten, daunt, to afflict, beat down, demoralize, depress, dismay, distress, frighten, intimidate, irk, and trouble are many surnouns of the word discourage. And discouragement and disappointments are normal emotions we all experience as Christians, but it's important to know how to make sure those debilitating emotions do not get the best of us. See, if we linger in discouragement, it can be costly. It's sense of defeat and hopelessness zaps us of energy and vision. It can consume a lot of time. It can keep us from doing what we need to do because we don't want to face it. And it can be contagious, weakening really another person's faith. When we feel discouraged, folks, we want comfort, which is right to feel. You know, I'm not going to say it's wrong, you know, whenever you're discouraged, you want comfort. I'm not going to say that's wrong. Some might say, well, it's not right to feel. Well, you know, again, there's differences of opinions here. But the comforts we often turn to, this is why I'm saying it this way, but the comforts we often turn to are ways to avoid our fears rather than ways to muster our courage to face and overcome them. See, that's why I said it's right to feel. But if you're seeking comfort in other ways than the ways I just said, then it's wrong to feel. But when this happens, discouragement simply becomes sinful indulgence in unbelief. No different than indulging in lust or anger or other sins of unbelief. Now, if you got your Bibles with you tonight, one verse is our reading verse for tonight, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 28. Now, I could have threw a lot of reading verses, but this is why I just kind of looked at this, and I kind of relate to the story. And when you see this verse, if you read the chapter, you'll understand where I'm getting this from. But it's Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 28, and Lisa posted it for us. And it reads this: where can we go up? Our brothers have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. Now, like I said, if you read the rest of that chapter, you will understand. But, you know, they were sent to go spy out the cities. And the people that went to spy out the cities, they saw these huge, huge people, giants. Man, they saw the cities, man. They were, wow. You know, like me, I'm an old, if you want to call it, a southern boy. But if I went to New York City or whatever the Empire State Building was at and looked at it and looked up, I'm like, wow. That thing would kind of intimidate me. But see, when they went out to go spy on that city and they saw the big cities and they saw those big people, they came back and told them, man, we can't defeat those people. Ain't no way. Ain't no way we can even get in that city. They got more stuff. They got more things. They got bigger buildings. They got walls. They got armies and stuff like that. You know, whoa, there's just no way. So it ended up causing discouragement among the camps. That's why it says discouragement can be contagious. So this is why, again, you know, when they said this, it discouraged a lot of people. So this is why, again, you know, we all dealt with discouragement. We know how hard it is, and sometimes it's a difficult thing to overcome. But it happens. So with that, let's go to a word of prayer. Father, we come to you tonight, and we thank you again for allowing us to be here, and we thank you for allowing us to have this technology to use. I try to encourage others to join, but again, I just kind of be reminded that you do the drawing, that you're the one that draws the people. We can't make them come. The old cliche is you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So, you know, if they have no desires to sit here and listen, some makes excuses. Well, I can't do good with audio. I'd rather see visual. You know, I'm not going to hold it against them. You know, they just rather do other things. You heard me say it many times in the past, the faithful few that keeps coming here on Friday night, like I said, they could have been doing something different. They could have been doing their own little thing. But yet, faithfully, they come here every Friday to hear whatever that you have to say. None of this is about me. It never was and never is. I'm just led to these messages, and some of them I relate to. Most of them I have dealt with or going through it or just went through it or you know, whatever. I just rely on past events, but you know, a lot of it speaks to me, speaks to my heart. Sometimes I get a lot out of it. Whenever I reread it and preach it, then I'll re-listen to it, and I get something out of it. So bless those who are here tonight. Watch over them. Put a protective hedge around them. Guard their hearts and let them know that you love them. Father, we are gathered here today in your name. to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Now, I don't know if some of you have seen it, but you kind of already get what we're fixing to talk about tonight. And the title of this message is, and that's why I called it, What is Discouragement? Now, generally, we all have a pretty good idea what discouragement is. I mean, like I said, we all dealt with it. But to understand what discouragement is, we first need to understand what I just said in order to get a better handle of what discouragement really is and what it can do to us. And here I will outline three stages of discouragement. I've been there. I'm not saying that you have. I'm not asking for you to say yes or no, whatever. But here tonight I'm going to outline three stages of discouragement. The first one is mild discouragement. And this occurs when a person experiences minor problems or pressures that affect his or her emotions. For the most part, this level of discouragement goes unnoticed by others and it's not long lasting. The second is strong discouragement. And this occurs when we face major problems or pressures. And this level of discouragement affects our spirits. In other words, the actions others can easily observe both physical and emotional indicators of discouragement. See, when you got strong discouragement, my friends, and when it affects your spirit, and our words and our actions can be easily seen by other people. They know that something seriously is going on. And the third one is what I call disabling discouragement. And this is big time. And I've seen many people deal with it. And I will admit to you, like I know some pastors will admit to it. They're not afraid to admit that they are in this category sometimes. But disabling discouragement equals to what we call severe depression. Depression. I get depressed a lot sometimes. I do. I'm not going to stand here and lie to you and say, no, I don't. I got it all under control. I never get depressed. I never get down. I never get beat up. That would be a lie if I said that. But I do. And depression, folks, I have seen this in people. You know, sometimes within myself. It drains us of spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical strength. It'll zap you. It'll just pull it all out of you. And when this happens, our hearts melt within us, and then, quite frankly, we have no desire, no energy, or we don't even have the ability to go on. We just want to hide. We don't want to do nothing. We don't want to be bothered by no one. Nothing seems to really help. But one thing does, and I will state that, one thing does help, God. But you got to be careful because some people get into this disabling discouragement. So with all that I just told you, what causes discouragement? What causes it? Well, to know its cause, we need to know, quite frankly, it's a lie from Satan. And that every form of discouragement comes strictly from him and not from God. God will never discourage you. God will not cause discouragement to fall upon you. Remember that. All that is nothing but a lie, and all that comes from Satan himself. And they boil down to this kind of a category. All these forms of discouragement really is fear, unbelief, self-pity, self-condemnation, all these, my friends, are nothing but byproducts of Satan. You become susceptible to Satan's lies when you lose sight of God's ways or do not put your confidence in Christ's provisions for your every need. Now, that's something to think about, isn't it? We do it a lot, don't we? And you say, well, wait a minute, Joe, if that's the case, I'm just being straight up. I've been known, you know, to say, hey, I'm a hard person. I've been known to say, hey, sometimes I'm too brutal. Sometimes I'm too tough. I've been known to say, hey, you can't tell people stuff like that. Then I think to myself, well, you know, if I can't, then all I'm doing is lying to you. I'm not being truthful. Because again, we're all not super Christians. We're not Superman or Wonder Woman or whatever it may be. It happens. Some may not admit it, but it happens. And whenever we do lose that confidence, you know, we think, okay, God can't do it for us. We lose that confidence. And we become what we call self-condemnation. We start condemning ourselves. And we get in that rut. And sometimes that cycle is vicious, and sometimes it's hard to get out of it. But it happens. But now I'm going to ask you a really strange question. And if I was to see your face, you'd probably give me that funny look. So, what are the benefits? What are the benefits of discouragement? Now, again, like I said, if I heard a pastor say that, I'd be looking at him like, huh? The benefits of discouragement? Now, that's a strange question to ask. Although discouragement is a form of an attack from Satan, God can redeem any discouraging circumstance and bring blessings to a person who is discouraged as that individual seeks God for deliverance. You see? That's benefits. Whenever we are in that discouraging stage and we go to God and we look to God, God delivers us. But you got to get past that point. Sometimes it's difficult. But it makes you look at God to see what He has done for you presently and in the past. And see, folks, the biggest benefit of suffering through a time of discouragement is, at least the kind I just hit on a while ago, just right there. See, the biggest benefit of suffering through a time of discouragement is that it confirms our need for God. Do you get that? Let me repeat that. The biggest benefit of you suffering through a time of discouragement is that it confirms your need for God. Discouragement can effectively produce deeper maturity in Christ because through it, God can destroy, and listen to this carefully so you don't misunderstand this and get bent out of shape, but discouragement can effectively produce deeper maturity in Christ because through it, God can destroy a believer's delight in temporal things and one's confidence in human effort. Now, the reason I just said that, because God has ordained that His strength be made perfect through our weakness. See, that's why God, again, destroys the temporary things and one's confidence in human efforts. That's why He destroys that. Because, again, God ordains that His strength be made perfect through our weakness. Notice what God told the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And that's why I'm saying that. And this is what God told Paul when Paul was pleading with God. God, I got this thing going on with me. I got this thorn in my side. Man, it's bumming me out. It's bumming me out, man. I just don't feel like I ain't getting it. Everything's coming apart on me. Why? Get rid of this thing. And look how God answered him. Look what he said. My grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, you think, was that something Paul really wanted to hear? You think at times when we're discouraged, that's something you and I want to hear? God, I didn't want to hear that. Not that. Man, I'm bummed out. Nothing's going right. I got all kinds of issues. And that's all you're going to tell me, that your grace is sufficient for me? Really? Huh. Yes, really. Yes, really. You see, bottom line, folks, discouragement effectively exposes our weakness, and it should always motivate us to seek the Lord's strength and not of our own. You get that? When you're discouraged, it should expose your weakness, but should always motivate you to seek God's strength and not our own. Because if we seek our own, we're evidently going to fail. And for anyone, and I have heard people say this, and I'm not kidding you. You may have heard someone say this too. But for anyone who makes a statement that, oh, Jim, I don't get discouraged. I never get discouraged. I don't know why you do. I have heard people tell me that. Son, I don't know why you're discouraged. I never do. Well, you want me to tell you a cold, hard truth, a fact? You get mad again if you want. I don't care. But for people who say that or make that statement, to me, they are not being honest with themselves. They're not. Because I guarantee it, folks, discouragement happens even to the strongest and the best of people. They just won't admit it truthfully. They just will not admit it to you. See, it does you no good to pretend that you don't feel what you feel. You can't take action against a negative feeling until you first admit that you have it. Do you get that? You can't take action against a negative feeling until you first admit that you have it. A strong Christian is not someone who never experiences negative feelings. It's someone who has learned what to do with them when he or she has them and how to process them biblically. Or in other words, you learn from your experiences. And when it comes at you, you know how to fight them biblically. Remember last week's message? Week before that, I can't remember which one it is. But when Jesus used the word against Satan, that's what we need to do. When we come under these demonic attacks, these spiritual attacks, when we get into these funks of discouragement, whatever, folks, and yes, I know it's hard at times, but we got to understand biblically, we need to fight them with the word of God. And I just told a friend of mine the other day, we had a phone conversation. He's having a hard time. He's been a pastor for 42 plus years, and he is discouraged like there is no tomorrow. And this is the guy that's mentoring me over the internet that I've been knowing for the last 7 years, that I learned a great deal of things from him, and yet he's calling me for encouragement while I'm discouraged myself. Now I'm thinking on the phone when he's, you know, talking to me, I'm thinking like, what am I supposed to tell this guy? He's calling the wrong person. I'm dealing with some discouragement myself, and I ain't got a clue what I'm going to tell him. And yet he was calling me. But yet, I knew what to do. I encouraged him. I brought him to the Word of God. I tell him, look, I sometimes I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here, you know, because you know more than I do. You know more than I do. And you know what you got to do. And I told him, you know, keep at it. And I could hear in his voice that it perked him up. And you know, it perked me off a little bit too. So folks, whenever you're dealing with discouragement, how you handle it biblically is what counts. So while I was thinking about that, that's where I was at when he called me, and I kind of was at this part in the message. So I'm thinking, okay, do I make a left turn or right turn? Which direction I go with this? So, what I come up with, I found this, and I kind of take bits and pieces from other people. So what can we do, really, when we are facing discouragement? What can we do to fight discouragement? I got the simple answer for you folks. Just say no to discouragement. Just say no. And look at what Psalms chapter 42 verse 5 says about it. Again, that's the Word of God. You want to learn something? You need something? And something you deal with? Go to God's words. He'll give you the answers. Look what it says right there. Even he's saying, and he's in this discouraged state, and David himself is saying, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. In other words, David said, Lord, why is it you so angry at me? How come you so down on me? Why is it you really causing all these things to happen to me? And look what he did. He decided, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. You know, it might feel like, God, you're coming down on me for some particular reason. So with this passage, folks, this is what I looked at, that we can learn four ways that we can say no to discouragement. Four ways that we can say no to discouragement. The first way is, like what David said, but look what Malachi 3:7 also says. It says, return to the Lord. That's the first way, return to the Lord, because Malachi 3:7 says, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. See, when discouraged, folks, and this is why we must return to the Lord. When discouraged, many Christians really drift away from the Lord. They do. They start neglecting prayer. They kind of slide off from reading God's words. They kind of start slipping back on church attendance. But see, God's words, folks, says something different. God's word says in James chapter 4, verse 8, it says this. See, James chapter 4, verse 8, it admonishes us too. And I like how it says it. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, that's kind of a harsh reality in a little bit. It really is. Because, you know, you kind of look at that and you read that. Well, wait a minute, you're calling me a sinner? Well, folks, we're all sinners saved by grace. Hello? And then when we do get discouragement and stay in a discouragement state, guess what? Okay, we're in a sense of saying to ourselves, okay, God, I can't believe that you're going to get me out of this. You can't help me. So again, we're kind of in a slight committing sins to ourselves. So then again, we need to go purify our hearts, because our hearts are not pure when we're in that discouraged state. And then all of a sudden, because when we start thinking, well, God, I don't know if you can do this. I just think you can. I just don't know if you could. I just don't know if you would. So we start getting double-minded. We're like the waves in the ocean. We're flipping around back and forth. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. And I think that's why Satan wants you to stay in that discouraged state, because he knows if he can keep you there, he's going to beat you up. Folks, just say no to discouragement. Return unto the Lord. Revive your prayer life and your Bible meditation. Restore your church attendance and support. You may not feel like it. Oh man, I just don't feel like praying. I don't feel like reading. Huh, you kidding me? And I got to go to church and hang around with all these other folks, and you're seeing them smiling, and they're happy, and they're singing songs, and they're having a good time, and yet you're feeling all bummed out. Whew, man, that's rough. But that's what the Bible tells us to do. That's what it tells us to do. Another way we say no to discouragement is, the second way is, radiate for the Lord. Radiate for the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says this. I used to sing that song a lot in my head. But it says, let your light so shine before the men that they may see your good works. Well, a lot of times I used to hum that song of mine, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Now, I'm just going to blow this little light out. I'm going to blow it out. I'm going to let this darkness overcome me. Yes, yes, yes. Nah. Folks, we have the light in us already. We need to let the light shine before men so they can see your good works. Radiate means to give forth or to spread happiness and love. And when discouragement strikes, some Christians, and I'm sure you can relate to this because I've seen it and I've done it myself, I'm guilty of it, but some Christians, they love to spread gloom and doom. How you doing today? Oh, it ain't doing too good today. I'm just having such a hard time. Nothing seems to be going right. Oh, man, I just can't do this. I can't do that. God's not helping. God's not with me. Oh, it's just turning out to be a rotten day. Oh, everything's just going, oh, well, how was your week? By the time you hear all them crying, you're like, oh, good Lord. You start to feel a little down, too. Like, well, I did that next time. I don't think I want to go see that person again. Sometimes they avoid you because they're thinking, well, I don't know if that cat's discouraged or not, because he might spread more doom and gloom. Folks, what we have to do is replace the negatives with the positives. Always look for the good and not the bad. Because we got a little thing going on right now. If you look on the internet hard enough for some dirt on somebody, you're eventually going to find it. But I was reading a story on Facebook where a math teacher, you know, she wrote down multiplications. And the first one she wrote, she intentionally did it wrong. She did the other nine right. But everybody in the class was laughing and giggling and cutting up and saying, oh, look, 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 look. But what she did to them, she told the class, well, yeah, but hold on a minute. I intentionally made the first one wrong and the other nine right just to prove my point. And the point was, they didn't look for the other nine that was good. They were just looking at that one bad. You still keep spreading that bad, and people is going to continue to notice that. And they won't look for the rest of the good. We got to quit looking for bad all the time. We need to replace that bad with the good. That's what we need to do. The third way to say no to discouragement Whew, this is going to be a tough one for me sometimes. I admit that. But the third way to say no to discouragement is to rely on the Lord. To rely on Jesus. Look what Psalms chapter 37 verse 5 says. And I read that and I'm like, oh man, you had to point that out to me, didn't you? Huh. But Psalms chapter 35 verse 5 says this. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, that's kind of funny because I got this hanging right there on my wall, right to my light, right. If you had a camera, I got it written in big bold letters. God said, this too shall pass. I think I need, when after that, then comes the morning. I forget to keep looking at stuff I got posted all over my room. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to the pass. Folks, some Christians have a tendency to rely on temporal possessions more than God. They do. And others, I have seen this, rely too much on people. They come to a disappointment. And notice what Psalms chapter 73, verse 28 says, or what it's telling us to do. It says, it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, God, that I may declare all thy works, said the psalmist. In other words, just say no to discouragement. Rely on the Lord. Depend on him. Quite frankly, he will never disappoint us or fail us. Never. Now, we would say, yeah, he has failed me. He has not come through. He has not. Oh, wait a minute. You don't know God's plans for you. You ain't got a clue what is right and what is wrong. You may think that you know what is right, but is it right in God's eyes or not? So don't ever try to blame God for us being discouraged or failing. It may be it's something else going on that we just don't see the full picture. And the fourth way to say no to discouragement, and I said this a little bit earlier, sometimes it's hard to do when you're fighting discouragement, but the fourth way to say no to discouragement, folks, is rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us this. It tells us that. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And many Christians, in fact, and I've seen this, and many Christians do, they fall into discouragement because they fail to offer praise to God. They are too involved in selfish pursuits. It is difficult, if not impossible, to rejoice in the Lord and be discouraged at the same time. Because the psalmist said in Psalms 34, verse 1, he said this. That's why I said it is impossible. Now, let me back this up. It is difficult, if not impossible, to rejoice in the Lord and be discouraged at the same time. Because the psalmist again said in 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times. At all times. At all times. Well, you can't say blessings out of your mouth and praising God and glorifying God. It's no sooner than you say, oh, God, I praise you, than all of a sudden, man, that ain't happening. It ain't working. I praise you, God. Oh, man, that ain't happening. I praise you, God. Man, that ain't happening. You see, folks, that's why I said it is difficult, if not impossible, to really rejoice in the Lord and be discouraged at the same time. The two just do not work. We must bless the Lord at all times. Just say no to discouragement. Rejoice in the Lord today. Rejoice, I say, folks, rejoice. And in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. I want you to know, discouragement doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing something wrong. Now, you might say, huh? If you're like a cat, your ears might have just perked up like, wait a minute. Discouragement doesn't necessarily mean you are doing something wrong, huh? Where are you going with this, Jim? Well, it may just be this. It may be that you're doing the right things in the wrong way. That's something to think about, isn't it? Being discouraged sometimes does not mean that you're doing the wrong thing. Like I said, it may be that you're doing the right thing in the wrong way. Try a new approach then. What you got to lose? Shake things up a little bit. Resist the discouragement. Fight back. Discouragement, friends, is a choice. Not saying this in a bad way, folks. Please don't look at me in the wrong way. But I'm not saying this in a bad way. If you feel discouraged, it's because you've chosen to feel that way. If you feel discouraged, you made a choice to feel that way. No one is forcing you to feel bad. Hang on. Do what's right in spite of your feelings. No feelings last forever. What's tempting you to be discouraged today? Are you having a hard time believing that God can really or work for the good? Are you having a hard time thinking that? Well, remember this. Remember, what looks so bad to you, it may look bad in your eyes or your mind. It may just look terrible. But in fact, it may be good. Just remember this, folks, what Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says. That's why I'm saying that. It may look so bad to you, but in fact, like I said, it may be just good, because Romans 8, 28 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Oh, let's scratch that. Hold on a minute. We got to erase that. Let me get my eraser. All things work for the bad. Now, all things work for the terrible. Now, all things work for the doom and gloom. Now, wait a minute. No, the scripture's clear. It says that all things work together for the good for those who are called according to his purpose. Hello? Folks, now is the time to fight. Not pout or shrink or go crawl underneath a rock. Think of discouragement as your faith being choked. Think about it. Think of discouragement. That's what it's doing. It's choking your faith. See, when you're choking, folks, it's not time to go plop down in front of the TV with a plate of comfort food to medicate your discouragement. Yeah, I'm just going to feel sorry for myself. Boom. Let me get a big tub of ice cream. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to get some chicken wings and tater chips and candy and cookies and just keep flipping that remote. Yeah. Folks, no, it's not the time to do that. What you need to do is dislodge the obstruction so you can breathe. So you can breathe. You need to fight for life. You may need someone out there to give you some sort of a Heimlich. Or you know the word, the Heimlich maneuver. You may need someone to give you that. So when you're in that little funk or that mold or whatever, folks, look, let me tell you this, go get some encouragement. Seek somebody that's going to encourage you. Seek the Lord, seek the Word, seek something. But don't sit there in front of that TV. Don't go hide in your closet. Don't go run away. Don't run from God. We know what happens when you run from God. Jonah did. Look what happened to him. A whale ate him up. Then the whale must have had a bad taste because it spit him back up on the beach. Go get some encouragement. Fuel, faith, encouragement. Don't let discouragement choke you. It's dislodged by believing in God's promises. God gave us the Bible so that through encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. You want to be encouraged? Go to God's Word. It's in there. Because if you don't find it, you're not looking for it. Plain and simple. Yeah, I'm hard. Yeah, I'm tough. Some may call me cruel. Jim, preacher shouldn't preach to us that way. That ain't what I want to hear. Well, if that ain't what you want to hear, then I say that you're lacking some sort of maturity. Go to scriptures. Scriptures has your encouragement. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 35 and verse 37. Puts it best by saying, now I just took a few little pieces out of it. The scriptures are probably posted in whole. But look what verse 35, verse 37 is saying. And it's saying amazing things like this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No! And all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Wow. Folks, do not let your heart be ruled by what you see. Let it be ruled by what Jesus has promised you. Why do I say this? Simple. And it's a fact. Jesus does not want you to be discouraged. He does not. In fact, He commands us not to be. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 1. And that's Him saying this, not me. Look what He said to His disciples just before what was probably the most discouraging experience of their lives. And you're thinking, well, what do you mean the most discouraging experience of lives? In fact, folks, it was His brutal death. The death He had to go to on the cross. The things He went through, they beat Him senseless. Flesh hanging, ripped off of Him, bloodying, and everything. No human right now in this day and age I know of could have survived that sort of beating, then had to carry the cross, then had to walk, get all the way up there, get nailed to the cross, stuck up there, take up all people's sins. Can you imagine how brutal that was to Him, but yet in their eyes? That really discouraged them? Like, oh no. We were with this man for 3 years. He's dead. What now? It's over with. Y'all remember the story? If you read through the Bible very carefully, guess what half of them did? They gave up. They went hit. Peter put it in his mind, well, that's it. It's done for now. I guess I'm going to go back to fishing. Man, this ain't happening. But notice what He said to them, though. Just before all that, let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. believe in God and believe also in me. What I'm telling you is true. You see, folks, the reason why I'm saying this, note Jesus' words. Note those words. Let not. Let not. These are not merely comforting. They are commands. He knew they would be tempted to fear. He knew they were going to go hide. He knew they were going to get discouraged. Things was going to look very bad. Like the whole mission that they've been talking about for 3 years, all of a sudden is now imploding. It's just blowing up. It's coming apart. What they were to do instead of being afraid, one word. One word. What they were to do instead of being afraid, one word was told to them. Believe. Believe in God. Believe also in Him. Believe in God. Believe also in Him. In other words, what he is saying here, don't let your hearts be ruled by what you see. Let them be ruled by what he has promised you. And that's what he is saying to you and me this very day. That's what he's telling us to do this very day. Folks, fight back. Discouragement is a choice. If you feel discouraged, it's because Satan wants you to be discouraged. And you're letting him get the best of you, and you're letting yourself feel that way. Do the next best thing. Fight back, because Jesus is greater than he who is of this world. Again, no one is forcing you to feel bad. Hang on. Hang on, my friends. Do what is right in spite of your feelings, because no feeling lasts forever. Amen. Let's pray.